I just believe when you go to God's house, you ought to celebrate. Don't you? There ought to be an atmosphere of celebration. Because coming together is for the saints to worship and to praise our great God. We're always happy when the Lord calls upon us to preach His gospel and sinners are converted. That's wonderful. But I tell you, I believe that the main purpose of us coming together is to worship God and to honor Him as His people. And I'm very grateful for the privilege He's given to us to do so. We're going to turn again in our Bibles this evening back into the Gospel of John, chapter number 15, please. John chapter 15. This is number 4 in the series that we have begun to preach on what we call the powerhouse of the believer. The powerhouse of the believer, which is the prayer closet. The prayer closet. We're not going to have any more power than we commit ourselves to prayer, because that's where we get that great power of Almighty God on our knees before the Lord. We want to read now from John 15, and we'll read the first 8 verses. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Now actually, I said this is number 4 in this particular series, and it is dealing with this matter of prayer. But even prior to this, we preached a few Sundays, and now we've moved those messages to Wednesday, and we've been preaching for a while on the true vine and the branches and the fact that God has called us to bear fruit, to be fruitful for Him, and we can only do that by being joined together with the true vine. The Father is the husbandman. He is the land worker and the vine dresser and the farmer. The Lord Jesus is the true vine. This is one of those I am sayings of the Lord in the Gospel of John. And of course, each one of us who are attached to the vine, we are the branches. Now, without being attached to the vine, Jesus said, you cannot bear any fruit. He said, without me, ye can do nothing. And nothing is not a little something. It's a big fat zero. We can't do anything without the Lord Jesus Christ being attached to the vine. Only then are we fruitful. And we just read that only when we are fruitful is God the Father glorified. And that's what our living in this world is all about. It is about us glorifying God all along the way of our Christian journey. Now, verse number 7 is our text verse on Sundays. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Again, we're speaking on the powerhouse of the believer, the prayer closet, Or maybe better said, the throne of grace. There's where the powerhouse is. It's where we meet God. And we meet God there at His throne of grace. And I'm very grateful that there is a throne of grace where we obtain mercy. We obtain the mercy of Almighty God. Mercy is not what we deserve. It's what God gives to undeserving sinners. But He does so not because of us, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Were it not for the Lord Jesus Christ and His blood and His perfect righteousness and His high and holy name, we would not have access to God's throne. We could not come into His presence and call Him our Father which art in heaven. It's only because of Jesus Christ. But here is where the power is. Here is where we are connected. There are never any power shortages in the throne room of grace. There's all we need. We just tap into it. God has made Himself available to His people 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Isn't it wonderful to have the privilege of prayer? What a golden moments you and I spend as we draw nigh to God in holy prayer. We come by the great high priest that God has presented to us, as God has made available to us, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. We come into the presence of Almighty God, who is able to hear us and to answer our prayers and to help us along as His people. Now there are three things that we see in verse number 7 that I've tried to call your attention to, and we've dealt some time in the first part of it, and I'd like to move on to the second part. But the Lord Jesus speaks here of the believer who is living in prayer. He said, if you abide in Me, and My words abide in you. Now that's a person who is living in prayer, who is in constant communication with God. This is something that we have, that we seek the Lord continually. Remember, pray without ceasing. When you leave the place of prayer, don't leave prayer. Take it with you. Pray everywhere you go, at all times. Seek to be in communication with God. And as you pray, you'll find that times that God turns it from a monologue into a dialogue. You pray, you speak to God, and God may speak back to you, reminding you of words that are in the Holy Scriptures that you've read, that you've heard preached on, or whatever. And there's communication that's taking place. How wonderful it is when the servant and the master are communicating together. And this is something that we must do. We've got to stay in contact with our God. I tell you, I'm in a very dangerous place if I break that contact. I'm in a very dangerous place if I allow sin in my life, because sin comes between us and our God. And it hinders the flow. It freezes the water in the pipe. And it hinders the flow. And dear friend, we've got to get the pipes thawed out by repentance, by confession of our sin, and repenting of our sin, and living. We've got to live. You see, we abide in Him. And His words that we hear on Sunday, and we hear on Wednesday, and we read in the Bible and such, we don't forget it, but it abides in us. It stays with us. And Jesus said in verse number 2, He said He purges the branch. He purges us. And in verse number 3, we are clean. And it has the same Greek root word there. And it means the same thing. He cleanses us by this purging that takes place in our life as we are living in the vine in the Lord Jesus Christ, abiding in Him, and His word is abiding in us. And I'll remind you that the Greek word for abide is the word meno. And that word means to continue, to remain, to stay, to dwell. It means to live there. And so live your life in me, said the Lord Jesus, and you will live your life in prayer. Because that's where the last part of this verse is coming to. And so the believer who is living in prayer, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. And then second, the believer who is having liberty in prayer, he said, ye shall ask what ye will. Abiding in Christ and having His words abide in you will give you liberty to ask God for whatever you will or desire. Again, the passage we began with in Hebrews chapter 4, he said in verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched, sympathio, who cannot sympathize with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, we've got a high priest, a great high priest who has passed into the heavens, who represents us, who is our high priest, whoever liveth to make intercession for us. And we know that He is always there pleading our case before the Holy Father, speaking to God in our behalf. And knowing that He is there gives me boldness. Praise God. That don't mean that you strut into the presence of God. That don't mean you come high-minded and with your head lifted up and pride. That's not what He's talking about. That word boldness means with assurance and with confidence. We can approach the throne of grace. Why? How dare me think I can enter into the presence of a holy God? Well, I've got a high priest. That's why I can enter into the presence of a holy God. I got somebody there who knows where I am and who's been here and been through this world and has experienced the difficulties of this world. The one friend who intercedes for us is the one who in the Garden of Gethsemane said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Friend, He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows where we are. He knows what we're going through. And beloved, He can turn and speak to the Heavenly Father on our behalf. I'll tell you, we can come with assurance and with confidence. We don't have to come, you know, wondering, is God going to hear me? We don't have to come, you know, pitifully, as it were, and wringing our hands. Brother, we can come with assurance, knowing that we've got a God on the throne who loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son for us. We've got a Savior on the throne at His right hand who loved us so much He laid His life down for us. Dear friend, we've got the Holy Spirit of God who also prays when we know not what we should pray as we ought. The Spirit of the living God maketh intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. And I'll tell you, when you got the Holy Trinity working together in our behalf, that gives you confidence and assurance. Ye shall ask what ye will. It's what he says here. Boldly. That means all outspokenness. We don't have to say, Lord, I don't know if I ought to say this or not. If we're abiding in the vine, we can pray. Matter of fact, you will pray. If you're abiding in the vine, if you're abiding in Christ and His Word is abiding in you, you'll live prayer. You'll pray. And you'll come into His presence. Frankness. It means bluntness, assurance, confidence. Let me read a little something to you I wrote down that I read in one of the commentaries. Most ancient rulers were unapproachable by anyone but their highest advisors. In contrast, the Holy Spirit calls for all to come confidently before God's throne to receive God's mercy and grace through Jesus Christ. Then he gives us a little Old Testament background. He said the Ark of the Covenant was viewed as the place on earth where God sat enthroned between the cherubim. Oriental thrones included a footstool, yet another metaphor for the ark. It was at the throne of God that Christ made atonement for sins. And it is there that grace is dispensed to the believers for all the issues of life. Praise the Lord, I'm glad. We've got a place where we can go and crawl up into the lap of God, as it were. He's our Father. And we have this kind of relationship with Him. You say, preacher, that's getting a little bit too personal. I want to tell you, He is my own personal Heavenly Father. And my Lord taught me, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. And so, praise God, I don't mind telling you, I'm a lap child. Amen. I enjoy climbing up into the lap of my Heavenly Father. That's the sweetest times on earth. That's the most beneficial times on earth for the child of God. That's the safest place, the most wonderful place to be, on your knees before your Heavenly Father, crying out to Him and experiencing Him. There's nothing like it. Often, when I pray, a lot of times, I kind of choke when I come into the presence of God. It seems like I don't know exactly how to word it. I don't know exactly how to approach God with the wording. Sometimes I'm so heavy with the burden that I can't do anything but cry in the presence of the Lord or groan. But you know, the Lord Jesus knows me and what I'm needing and what I'm feeling and experiencing. And the Holy Spirit knows me and He knows what I'm feeling and what I'm experiencing. And so those groans and those tears that are coming out before the Lord, Jesus in the Spirit knows how to translate them into words, transform them into words, and Jesus will turn to the Father and He'll say, it's this situation, this is what's going on, this is what's happening, this is what's disturbing Him, and He needs help. He needs the help of Almighty God. He knows how to form the words. And when I stumble around, as I often do in my prayers, as I stumble and limp along in my prayers, the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, takes it and puts all the vocabulary just exactly right and crosses all the T's and dots all the I's and presents my prayer to God. And somebody said, if you were to see the end result, once the Lord Jesus offers that prayer to God, if you were to see it, you probably wouldn't even recognize it. He perfects it. He takes care of our haltering and limping along. Don't let that hinder you from prayer. Don't ever say, I just don't know how. Truth is, none of us knows how. We get our help from the Lord. Don't forget, He said, without me, ye can do nothing. And so we've got to have Him. We don't know how. We look to the Lord to help us along with these prayers. And so I've learned this. If you could pray the best prayer in the world without the Holy Spirit, God wouldn't have anything to do with it. But your prayer, which may seem to you to be lame, broken, limping, if the Spirit made it, God will accept it. And He will even look upon that prayer as He did creation the moment He brought it into existence with the words, that's very good. It's acceptable to God. Hallelujah. The devil's a liar. Don't listen to him. He's trying to keep us out of the prayer closet. He's trying to keep us off our knees. Because, friend, a saint of God in the prayer closet makes the devil as nervous as a lion in a den full of Daniels. I remember 9/11/01. September the 11th, 2001. I remember that year. That was the year my dad went on to be with the Lord, in January of that year. But I remember when those planes, and you watched them, some of you watched them as well, when they hit the Twin Towers. First plane hit, and they thought, well, that was just accidental. But then here come that other plane, and they knew that war was on. Then one of the planes flew into the Pentagon, and evidently the other must have been heading for the White House, and the people in there brought it down in the field. But I remember after those towers fell, President Bush, I remember him going out and standing on the rubble, and he had one of the little bull horns in his hand. And firemen and others were around. And there was a crowd somewhat out there. President Bush was talking to the crowd. And somebody hollered something at him. And President Bush hollered back at him through that bullhorn. He said, I hear you. I hear you. There have been times in my pilgrim journey, I'll tell you, everything around me was falling apart. The enemy was coming at me with all, it seemed like all he had. And I was experiencing the fiery darts of the wicked one. And it seemed like I was struggling so as a child of God. And I was, everything, there was no firm structure anywhere around me. It was all crumbling. And I'll tell you, friend, I even asked God, I remember a time when I asked God, Lord, have I missed it? Have I misunderstood? Am I in hell right now? Is this what hell is? You say, Brother Tom, I ain't never been there. I hope you don't ever have to go there. But I stood in the rubble. And I cried out to God. And I tell you, I was so overwhelmed by the burdens that I just couldn't feel God. And I couldn't feel prayer. And say what you want to. I believe we walk by faith. But I don't believe there's a child of God that don't love to feel it. And I cried out and cried out to God. And bless His name. I could hear Him say, I hear you. I hear you. If I can just get that, praise God. Brother Charles, I can continue on my pilgrim journey. Just knowing that God has His ear turned toward me. That He loves me. And He's got everything well in hand. Glory to God. Beloved branch, Have I got any branches out here? Amen. A single groan before God may have more fullness of prayer and more dynamite of power in it than the finest orations or the greatest lengths. As I said, I think it was last week, God don't measure prayer by length. He measures it by weight. And that's not to say that we shouldn't be at times lengthy in prayer. Our Lord Jesus gave the example as He prayed all night at times. Sometimes it calls for that. Sometimes we need to do just such as that. And that's a reason, just in case you're wondering, that may be the very reason that sometimes you just can't seem to sleep at night. It could be that God wants you to lay there on your bed and pray. Or get up and go to your prayer room and pray. I mean, these things don't just happen, friend. There is a reason. There is a purpose. If you're abiding in the vine, especially, God is calling on you to prayer, to prayer. He's calling. He said, live prayer. Even when you're laying on the bed at night. Hallelujah. You ought to pray all the time. They tell me, Susan and I were talking about it on the way to church this evening. They tell me that David Livingston was on his knees when he went home to be with the Lord. Praise God, that's a good way to check out a planet Earth, ain't it? Amen. Go home to be with the Lord. Abide at the throne and you can come boldly to it. God's golden scepter is always stretched out to you, friend. The king says, ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. He who abides in conscious union with his Lord, yielding to his in-working words that structure his character and consecrates his will. This is the one who has freedom in prayer. The Lord Jesus spoke of the believer who is living in prayer. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. The believer who is having liberty in prayer, ye shall ask what you will. And then last, the believer who is lucrative in prayer, it shall be done unto you. The abider is lucrative. He's profitable, he's rewarded, he is productive. It shall be done unto you. Notice now, it don't say it shall be done by you. It says it shall be done unto you. It's not you doing it. It's the vine doing it. And what is it now? Let's take it in the context. What is it that the Lord Jesus is concerned about, Him being the true vine, and us being the branch? What is it that He is concerned about in this passage of Scripture? Fruit bearing. Fruit bearing. He said, that's what I want you to do. I want you to bear fruit. He said, because this is what glorifies the Father. And so ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And the thing that concerns us more than anything else is that we bear fruit. The vine don't just want it. The branches want it too. I want to bear fruit. God don't call us to be shade trees. He calls us to be fruit-bearing trees. If you're abiding in the vine, I know this about you. You long to bear fruit. And so you ask. And so it is done. Look at that vine branch. It simply remains in the vine. And by remaining in the vine, it bears fruit. The sap can reach it. My fellow vine branches, The purpose of our being, the purpose of our clinging is because we desire to bear fruit to the glory of our Heavenly Father. In order to gain this marvelous success, we must abide in Christ as the branch abides in the vine. And this is the method by which your prayer for fruitfulness will become successful. He said, "It shall be done unto you." I love that statement in Isaiah 65:24. "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." I hear you. Amen. Amen. Now, does that text mean what it says? Listen, I've never known our Lord to say anything that He didn't mean. And I'm sure that sometimes He means more than you and I understand Him to say, but He never means less. You can count on what our Lord said. It shall be done unto you. Now, we must understand this fact, or we're going to have the wrong idea of prayer and God's purpose of it. God did not design prayer to be a means of changing God's will in heaven. When God determines something, we are not going to talk Him out of it. We're not going to get Him to change His mind. Prayer is a means of changing man's will on earth. And so we pray, and we've been instructed by our Lord to pray, "Not my will, but Thy will be done. Thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven." You see, a person who's arguing with God in prayer, I'm talking about arguing against the will of God, and is absolutely determined, and maybe the temperature's rising somewhat, and they're getting a bit miffed with God, angry with God, that person's not abiding in the vine. As we abide in the vine, we learn to yield to the vine. That's where the fruit bearing comes in. Now notice, God does not say to all men, "I will give you whatever you ask." Actually, that'd be very unkind of our Lord to give to every man everything that every man asks for. Matter of fact, I've lived long enough to appreciate the fact that God has not always answered my prayers the way I've asked Him to. He has not given to me everything that I've asked Him to give to me. And I'll tell you, I've lived long enough that I've looked back on that prayer and I've looked up to God and said, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for not giving me what I was asking for there, because I didn't see that that bumblebee had a stinger in it. I didn't see what the devil's intentions was to that. Maybe that's why you hadn't got that job you've been praying for. Maybe the Lord wouldn't let you have that job because somewhere down the road something would happen and it would take your heart away from God out yonder into the world, maybe climbing the corporate ladder or whatever, making more money and all kind of stuff like that. Maybe the Lord didn't let you live where you wanted to live because God saw something there. Maybe the devil had a booby trap there and it'd have blown you to smithereens." God's taking care of His people even when we are not even aware that danger's around. In the text, Jesus speaks only to His disciples who are abiders and who have His Word abiding in them. These are the only ones who are truly interested in Christian fruit bearing. This is a certain class of men and women, believers, who have already received the great grace of God at His hands. It is to them that He commits this marvelous power of prayer. You can't trust power in just anybody's hands. If you're one of these people, God puts His omnipotence at your disposal. He puts forth His Godhead to fulfill the desires that His own Spirit has worked in you. I said this morning, if we are not prayer warriors, we are subnormal believers. Every believer should be a prayer warrior. This has got to be the main part of our lives. This is a main ingredient in Christianity, is to be a people of prayer. Mary, Queen of Scots, said, "I fear John Knox prayers more than I do an army of 10,000 men." She knew Knox was a praying man, brother, and she better not get on the wrong side of those prayers. Prayer has healed the sick, raised the dead, demolished demonic strongholds, changed the course of human history, rescued perishing sinners bound for hell, sobering drunkards, breaking chains of addicts, fixing broken homes, making husbands love their own wives and wives their own husbands. It's turned gambling money into grocery money, despair into hope, hate into love, misery into joy, and a desire to die into a desire to live. Prayer does this. This is what makes the difference. I'm not just blowing smoke up here. By the way, Sister Faye, I'm glad you made it tonight. I want to tell you something. You might know Jennifer would leave here. She ought to have stayed in here and listened to this. I learned something today, Sister Faye. I asked Jennifer, my daughter Jennifer, I said, "Jen, I said, have you ever smoked a cigarette?" And she said, "Daddy," she said, "me and Angel." Said Angel slipped one of her daddy's cigarettes. And her and Jennifer lit it up. She said, "We didn't know how to smoke it. We didn't know anything about inhaling. We just took a draw and blowed it out." Said that's all we did, just took a draw and blowed the smoke out. And she looked at me, Sister Faye, and she said, "Daddy, I just did it one time." I said, "All right, you'll just get one whipping. So you need to talk to Angel about that too." Yeah, well, that's the first time I'd heard it too. I'm not doing what Angel and Jen were doing. I'm not just up here blowing smoke. Folks, we've got to get busy with prayer. Absolutely. Monica lived from 331 to 387. I'm about done. She gave herself. It's not just men who have been prayer, men of prayer in the past. They're women who've prayed, buddy. I mean, they have prayed. They've labored. Maybe more so than most men. And God's answered prayer of ladies. Monica lived from 331 to 387, gave herself to prayer for her son, whose sin was her continual grief. He was as wicked as the day is long, a womanizer, blasphemer, a thief. He would steal pears from the neighbors, and he didn't even like pears. He just liked to steal. He had that nature, that wicked nature that we all have. But his mama kept praying, and God answered her prayer. And Augustine of Hippo, who lived from 354 to 430, became one of the greatest theologians in church history. After his conversion, one of the ungodly women that Augustine had partied with passed him on the street, and as he walked past her, he didn't say anything, didn't pay any attention to her. When she got past him, she stopped and turned around and said, "Augustine, "It is I." He answered, "But it is not I." He was a new man, a new creature. And he attributed that to God and his praying mother. Say what you will, friend, but prayer works together with the sovereignty of God. Brother Ronnie, excuse me if I get on your Sunday school lesson just a little bit. But in 1 Samuel chapter 1, God wanted a man, a holy man in Israel, to be the priest. Eli had jumped off the wagon a long time ago. God wanted a holy man. And there was a woman by the name of Hannah, Elkanah's wife. And Hannah was barren and had no child. And God wanted this woman to pray for a son. So he took her and put her in a hard place. God was working in his sovereign will. He put this woman in a hard place where her enemy would taunt her and mock her and give her a hard time because she didn't have any babies. You know what that did to her? It drove her to prayer. Desperation will drive you to prayer. Brother, I'll tell you, she went to praying, and Eli, he was so backslid, he didn't know what was going on. He thought she was drunk when he saw her mouth moving and couldn't hear anything coming out. That woman was crying out to God, "God, give me a son." I mean, she was specific. "God, I want a boy. I want a son. And if you'll give him to me, I'll give him right back to you." Hallelujah. The sovereignty of God and prayer got together. And a son was produced. By the way, Augustine's mother, while Monica waited for her prayers to be answered, an old Christian said to her, "Monica, the child of many prayers shall never perish. Just keep on praying. Keep praying for your young'uns. Keep praying for your grand young'uns. Don't let up. Don't stop. Grab hold of the horns of the altar and say, 'Lord, here I am again. It's my boy. It's my daughter. It's my grandson, my granddaughter. God, you see the shape they're in. You know how wicked they are. Yes, they deserve to go to hell. But oh God, would you please save them? Put them anywhere on this planet, even if I never see them again, anywhere on this planet where they will serve you and love you and do your will and live the rest of their lives seeking God and submitting in obedience to your holy word. And I'll be a mighty happy person." As somebody has said, "I can do without their presence in this life if I can just have them throughout eternity in glory." Don't quit praying for them. Praise God. Aren't they worth it? Don't ever stop. The prayers for them that you don't see answered during your lifetime. As one preacher said many years ago, he said, "You may look out the window of heaven and look down and see God answer that prayer." Luke 15 and 10, "Likewise I say to you, there's joy in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner that repenteth." I don't think it's saying that the angels are rejoicing, though they may be. But in the presence of the angels of God, I believe the Lord rejoices, even though he knew it was going to take place, but he lives always in the eternal now, and he no doubt rejoices. But I wonder if there's a town crier in heaven that goes through crying out the names of that one who just came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And heaven is lifted up with a shout of mothers and daddies and children and grandchildren and grandparents because they've heard the name of that one that they love that has now been saved. Praise God. Glory to God. Would to God that the Lord would take what's being preached here today and make the gold glitter in the eyes of every one of His children, brother, so that we'd all get stirred to prayer. His power in prayer, there's nothing like it. Let me close with this. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now here are the 2 feet by which we climb to power with God in prayer. These 2 feet. We abide in Him. That's 1 foot. His words abide in us. That's the other foot. And these are the 2 feet that we climb up into prayer with. We abide in Him. We live in Him, by Him, for Him, and to Him. Arthur W. Pink said, the branch, listen to this, Brother Bill, this is good. He said, the branch has 4 relationships with the vine that need to be distinguished. Number 1, life in Christ is salvation. Number 2, life with Christ is fellowship. Number 3, life by Christ is fruit bearing. And number 4, life for Christ is service. He said the fruit is Christ Himself manifested through us. That's taken on the image of Christ. The believer is to abide in Christ. Life is going to throw everything that it can at you to dislodge you from the vine. Jesus said, remain. Don't go anywhere. Put the parking brake on. Shut the door and stay put. Pray, branch. Pray, Lord, make me fruitful. Help me to glorify You, to remain faithful, to grow and bring forth fruit as a Christian is called to do. And when You're done with me here, transplant me into Your heavenly garden where the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Let me hear Thy voice say to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. And so shall I ever be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Go pray. Your pastor's to pray for you, but I can't do your praying for you. You hear me? You got to pray. If you run out of anything to pray about, you let me know. I'll give you a big list. Keep you busy. Praying. 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 Stay with it. Praying. Brother Archie, would you pray for us, brother?